John the Baptist, the last and greatest of all the prophets of Israel, was also the Lord's first cousin. But he was not perhaps the easiest guy to have around. You might not really want to have John the Baptist as a member of a parish council, or a diocesan finance committee, or a school board. Although his father, Zechariah, was a priest who served in the temple of the Lord, and therefore his family would have had a pretty good social standing, I'm rather sure most people would not want to have John as a dinner guest, much less a house guest. First of all, even by the standards of those ancient days, John may have smelled. He often, most of his life, lived in the wilderness, out in the desert, where there was little enough water for drinking, much less for washing. He ate locusts, and he dressed in a camel skin. But perhaps the most irritating thing about John the Baptist was the fact that he always preached the truth without any compromise or any mitigation. None of us like to have our sins pointed out to us on a regular basis. Who likes to be told that you shouldn't do the very things you want to do? Who in the world would want a fiery prophet of the Lord to announce that things in this world were about to change, and that Almighty God Himself was about to do the changing? But, surprisingly, as today's gospel recounts, some people, in fact, the text of the gospel says crowds of people, actually did want to hear John. They went out to the desert to hear him preach. They were hoping for forgiveness. They were looking for salvation. They were dreaming that their lives might change. They were expecting a Messiah, the promised one of God, who would come into this world to redeem the world. They begged John to tell them what they should do to prepare for the advent of the day of the Lord. And as usual, John didn't mince any words. To the crowd he preached, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the one who has none. Whoever has food should do likewise." To the tax collectors, who were collaborators with the hated Romans, they still came to John in order to be baptized. John preached to them, "Stop collecting more than is prescribed." Even soldiers asked what they should do. John answered them, "Don't practice extortion. Don't falsely accuse anyone. Be satisfied with your soldiers' wages." In other words, John was preaching to everyone without any apology that those who wish to prepare for the day of the Lord, those longing for the great advent of their God, should obey the law of God. In some ways, John's message was that to obey God's law means to treat your neighbor the way you would want to be treated. That is the whole message of the law and the prophets. Doesn't John sound a lot, when you think about it, like his cousin, Jesus Christ? So he told those folks and tells us to get ready for the moment when God would decisively break into our time and our history, and that we should stop sinning. Now, amid all the business and busyness of this season of the year, all the rushing and shopping, we really do need to remember that Advent is about preparing a way for the Lord. The best way to await His coming is to live godly lives and notice the needs of other people. We really all know it finally doesn't matter just how many Christmas lights decorate our houses or how many poinsettia plants will adorn our beautiful sanctuary this Christmas midnight mass. What really prepares the way for Jesus is kindness shown to all, as St. Paul teaches in today's second reading. A good Advent, a blessed Christmas, means to begin again to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and according to the Word of God. Despite the clarity and demand shown in the message of John the Baptist, the Gospel also records that his words actually filled people with hope and expectation. Some were even wondering in their hearts if John himself might be the promised Christ, that is, the promised anointed one of the Lord. John answered, "I am baptizing with water, but one mightier than me is coming. I am not worthy to unloose the thong of his sandals. The true Messiah of God would baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the very fire of God. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to burn up the chaff in unquenchable fire, and to gather in the harvest into his barn." John preached a strong message, but to those who heard it with faith, it was good news. It was the gospel. Those who listened did try to change their lives. They took advantage of Advent. They took advantage of the hope and promise God's prophet offered. The Lord was very near. There was no reason, really, to have anxiety. As St. Paul again advises us, guard your hearts and minds in the true Messiah, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Today is the third Sunday of our Advent in this year of our Lord, 2009. Today is Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday, and on this Sunday we put away our penitential purple and put on rose-colored vestments, signifying hope and promise. Like the promise of a rosy dawn, heralding the rising sun, God truly in Christ is already in our midst. We should prepare to shout for joy and be glad and exult with full hearts. The King of Israel is our Savior. We should be renewed in his love and ready for the day of his appearance. In these last days of Advent, may we begin to celebrate the birth that has forever changed this world and our lives. May we receive the Lord into our hearts and be converted, be changed by the power of his love. If today we welcome Christ in his word, in his sacraments, we never have to fear his glorious appearance at the end of time and history when he comes in power to judge the living and the dead. When Christ comes again in majesty, may we all go out filled with joy to welcome him as our Savior and our Lord.